This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We are here today with Ben McGrady, an Australian attorney and policy consultant who advises civil society groups on issues of global health and international trade, and recent author of U.S. Engagement in International Tobacco Control for the CSIS Global Health Policy Center.
Thanks for joining us today, Ben.
My pleasure.
So if you can begin by just telling us about the World Health Organization's Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. What is it and why should it be ratified by the United States?
It's an international treaty, as you mentioned, concluded under the auspices of the World Health Organization. And in effect, the treaty obliges parties, of which there are approximately 150, to implement a range of different tobacco control measures. And these measures include tax measures, bans on advertising, health warnings and other measures regulating product packaging, measures to eliminate illicit trade in tobacco products, which includes smuggling of tobacco products and counterfeiting of tobacco products. And the treaty also includes provisions addressing issues such as product regulation and alternative livelihoods for tobacco growers. In essence, the treaty is an attempt by a number of different countries that pursue tobacco control measures to, work together on some of the collective action problems that we see in tobacco control. And the primary examples of those are cross-border illicit trade in tobacco products and cross-border tobacco advertising. With respect to the question of why it should be ratified by the United States, there are, or I would identify, three different incentives or three different reasons for the US to ratify the treaty. The first relates to illicit trade in tobacco products, and at present the parties to the treaty are negotiating an optional protocol to address illicit trade, and the purpose of which really is to decrease tax evasion and minimise illicit trade in tobacco products as a source of funding for terrorist groups and organised crime. In addition, the issue is really approached from a health policy perspective, in the sense that illicit trade in tobacco products and particularly tax evasion undermines the use of taxation measures as a means of decreasing or discouraging tobacco consumption. So that's, in effect, elimination of illicit trade in tobacco products is one incentive for the US to ratify the treaty. And the US has in the past been a leader in other fields of illicit trade regulation around the world. So there's good reason for the US to engage on that issue. The second incentive for the US to ratify the treaty concerns product regulation. There are ongoing efforts within the treaty body to develop guidelines on product regulation and product disclosures, and these guidelines and participation in negotiation of the guidelines could assist US authorities, particularly the Food and Drug Administration, which now will shortly have the power to regulate tobacco products. In addition, participation in this body would really give the US an opportunity to ensure that whatever approach it takes is consistent with the approach being taken in other countries, and really to standardise the approaches at an international level so as to create efficiency in the way in which regulation is conducted. And the third primary incentive is really restoration of US reputation. And that's obviously an issue that's been discussed quite heavily since the Obama administration has come in, but there's a broader issue here rather than the change from Bush to Obama, and that is that during the 1980s and 90s, the US Trade Representative was very active in promoting the sale of tobacco products and the liberalisation of tobacco markets in developing countries, particularly in Asia. And that was actually one of the real causes or triggers for countries to look to conclude the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. So by ratification and positive engagement in the treaty process, the US could restore its reputation on international tobacco control issues.
And what obstacles, particularly what political challenges, are preventing Senate ratification of the Framework Convention?
Well, the primary challenges up until very recently have been that U.S. laws don't actually conform to the terms of the treaty, and in particular U.S. laws on packaging and on tobacco advertising arguably haven't conformed to the terms of the treaty, so ratification just isn't a realistic or hasn't been a realistic option until those laws have been brought into compliance. The recent passing of the Family Smoking and Tobacco Control Act changes that, and the new powers given to the FDA and to the Secretary of Health and Human Services means that the US laws can comply with the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. So in a sense, the political barriers that have previously existed and have meant that really ratification of the treaty hasn't even been on the horizon have very recently been eliminated, and now the question becomes why not ratify, given that there are significant potential gains and US laws will be compliant with the treaty irrespective of the need to ratify by virtue of the new Family Smoking and Tobacco Control Act. I think in a political sense then the barriers now are really just very practical ones about the backlog of treaties that perhaps sit on the Senate's agenda, and the question of whether or not ratification of this treaty can be brought forward in a timely and quick manner.
Great. Well, thank you, Ben, for joining us. And if listeners would like to read Ben McGrady's full report on U.S. engagement in international tobacco control, please visit www.csis.org/globalhealth.
This has been a CSIS Global Health Policy Center podcast at www.smartglobalhealth.org.